Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
This kind of prayer where, oh God, we have no power at all. Jehoshaphat said that in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. When the enemies came against him, he says, Lord, we have no power at all against this enemy. Our eyes are on you. And people will quote scriptures like that, but that was an Old Testament man that didn't have what we have. We now are born again. We have the raising from the dead power of Jesus on the inside of us, and you are never powerless. I don't care if you are destitute financially tonight, you aren't powerless. God has given you the power to get wealth. And if you'll quit sitting on your hands and praying and asking God to just give you money and get up and lay your hand to something and start believing that God has put power on the inside of me and I'm going to prosper. If you start doing that, you'll start seeing some things happen. But basically, the body of Christ is powerless and, oh God, we have nothing. We're just praying. We're waiting on you. Oh God, send revival as if it's His fault. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. Start believing that, Father, you've put the same power on the inside of me, and praise God, I'm going to get so full of the Word of God, I'm going to be so that if the devil pokes me, the Word's coming out. Amen. I'm going to get to where I speak the Word of God, and at work, instead of when people go to speaking and saying, oh, it's flu season, have you gotten the flu yet? Instead of you biting your lip and not saying anything because somebody might think you're a religious fanatic, just stand up and say, hey, there is no flu season for me. By His stripes, I'm healed all of the time. And you start speaking the Word. And you know what? You'll either experience one of two things. You'll experience total rejection or revival. People will say, do you really believe that? Oh, yeah. Man, we were just at a meeting where we saw osteoarthritis healed, cancer healed, deaf ears open. There was a woman that told me that she had a lump that disappeared 8 years ago watching me on television. I called it out, and this lump in her breast was instantly gone. And I just heard all of these miracles. This guy that was preaching, his son was raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours. You go to saying that, and people will either reject you or they'll say, would you pray for me? And you'll start seeing revival. But that's risky. Somebody might not like you. You know what? You cannot praise God with your thumb in your mouth. You just got to pull your thumb out of your mouth and go to praising God. You got to grow up and face it that it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. The only people in here that aren't being persecuted are ungodly people. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you aren't like God. That's what ungodly means. God's not going to sit there and let somebody around the water cooler start talking about how bad everything is and gripe and complain and murmur. He would put in the truth. He would be salt and light. He would say something. He would project the truth. If you start saying the truth and standing for what is right, some people are going to hate you, other people are going to love you. I've got a lot of people that hate me, but I got a lot of people that love me. And you know what? If you're afraid of offending somebody, you'll never do anything. I'm a little off the subject, but not really. I'm just saying that it's not up to, oh God, would you move? Oh God, would you touch this person? You're praying for somebody to be saved, but you wouldn't say anything to them because they might criticize you. The Bible, you don't get people saved by prayer. You get people saved by the Word of God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. The Word of God is like a seed. If you want a plant to grow, you don't pray over the ground and ask God to make a plant grow. You take the seed and you plant the seed. And if you don't plant a seed, you can pray until you die and there will never be anything grow. If you want somebody born again, Quit just praying and asking God to save them as if it's God that hasn't done something. Instead, take the seed, the Word of God, that is an incorruptible seed, and tell them the truth and speak the Word to them, and the seed will produce. They are born again by incorruptible seed. I'm telling you, the body of Christ as a whole doesn't understand that when we got born again, you now are God-possessed. You are God's secret weapon. And instead of us going like, oh God, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm an old sinner saved by grace, would you please do something in my life? I'm powerless. That's a terrible attitude. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace. And now I am God-possessed. God Almighty lives on the inside of me. I have the glory of God living on the inside of me. And there may be somebody here thinking, wow, I'd never say that. How arrogant. I'm not saying that it's by any virtue of mine. It's totally the grace of God, but nonetheless, it's happened. I'm a new creature. God lives on the inside of me. Basically, the church is emphasizing that without Christ, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 4, and that's an absolute truth. But what they're missing is, I'm not without Christ. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. If you could somehow or another separate me from God, well then yes, I'm nobody. But I am not separated from God. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And because of that, I do not have this insecure attitude, this condemnation attitude that, oh God, we can do nothing. Greater is He that's in me than cancer that's in this world. Greater is He that's in me than defeat, negativism and stuff. And instead of coming and starting from a position of unbelief, oh God, I'm nothing. Oh God, cancer's beat me. Oh God, I'm going to die. And you're just speaking death and doubt and fear. You ought to believe the Word of God that, Father, thank You that I am seated in heavenly places. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment I condemn. And even though I've got this problem here, I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I thank You that You've already done it. By Your stripes I'm healed. Now I take my authority. And the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. And so I use my tongue and I curse you, cancer. I command you to die in the name of Jesus. I loose Your anointing, Father. I have that power and authority, and I loose this power and I release. See, that's a totally different attitude than, oh God, would You please move? Pretty please. And if He won't do it for you, well then go get a prayer warrior, because maybe they can move, God. You can't. And you just basically erase Jesus. He hasn't brought you into relationship with God. You got to beg and plead, and you got to come before Him bowing and scraping and acting as if you're nothing and nobody. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I tell you, what I'm saying here is as rare as hen's teeth. There's not very many Christians that have an attitude that Jesus has already done it. They are in the process of begging Jesus to do something that He hasn't done. This says that it's already been done. We are now in the Holy Spirit. So now, it's up to you. You draw near. You draw near. Don't ask God to draw near. Over in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul says that, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. He's not far from any of us. He's with all of us. It's not God that needs to move. We're the ones that need to move. We need to move out of the outer court and out of the holy place and into the Holy of Holies by this new and living way. Look in Hebrews chapter 7. I use this verse this afternoon, verse 19. It says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us draw nigh." How do you draw nigh? By the better hope, by the better covenant. You cannot draw nigh to God under the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law would allow you to come to the brazen altar. It would allow the priest, the select few to enter into the holy place, but nobody could enter into the Holy of Holies except the one who was symbolic of the Lord Jesus. And there was a veil there that separated, and there was wrath and cherubims there to kill people if they tried to enter into His presence. But now all of that has changed. We have a new and a living way, and the veil has been rent. The cherubs are no longer standing there to turn anyone away from God. And now the door is open, but God is not going to come out and grab you and drag you in. He says, you draw near. And how do you do it? By taking these truths and renewing your mind and telling yourself, Father, I believe I'm righteous. I believe that you live inside of me. I believe these things are true. I believe right now I'm in the very presence of God. I don't care what I feel like. You have to build yourself up. You have to encourage yourself. You have to assure your heart. 1 John chapter 3, I used that verse last night. And we aren't doing this. We're saying, oh God, would you please assure me? He said, you assure your own heart. Keep yourself in the love of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. We're acting as if Jesus hasn't done anything. And so we're saying, oh God, would you please send Jesus to do something? Jesus has done everything He's ever going to do. And now He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. The significance of that is He isn't working. He's not laboring. He's not reapplying His blood to you every time you mess up and having to do something. He's already done it. He's reconciled you unto God. And He's now seated until His body takes their rightful place and stands up and subdues all of the things that Jesus has conquered. Jesus has conquered death, but it's up to His body to enforce that and make it come to pass. Jesus has conquered sickness and disease, but He's not going to just go around and heal you. He's healed everybody He's ever going to heal. And He put that healing power on the inside of you. Now, are you going to stand up and take that healing power and resist the devil and see him flee from you? Or are you going to go to God like a whipped puppy and, oh God, I have no power. Would you please move in my life in total unbelief? You know, I know I'm being hard, but I'm trying to get my point across. I'm trying to let you see that this attitude that we've got is not a godly attitude.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-155 titled, Please God, Do Something, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net.
It's difficult for me to share some of these truths because it's broken into little segments. And that's the reason we encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. But you know, even those materials, there is just so much. This is a revelation that I've got hundreds of hours sharing these truths. And really, the best way I have to share this with people is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the college here in Colorado Springs, but we have extension schools, I think 6 extension schools throughout the U.S., 4 outside of the U.S., but we also have correspondence that you can get DVDs and study. And so there's a lot more material available. I encourage you to call and join up with our Charis Bible College today.